Just stating the facts. Okay. Welcome. It is a little awkward being the only dude in here, I'm not going to lie. But I'm excited about sharing with y'all, and I'm excited about, I don't know, excited maybe is not the word. I feel a very, very strong sense of needing to share this with you. Hey, this microphone, the light is red. Does that mean the battery's dying? All right, just have some batteries ready to roll. And if it croaks, then you can throw them, and I'll catch them, and we'll roll. Okay, everybody else can duck. So, maybe not excited, but I feel really strongly like a sense of urgency to share these things with you. And partly because I think a lot of you, there's probably a large percentage of girls in here that don't have these types of conversations with a father figure or someone in your life that says these things to you. And so I want to do that. And I do this with my daughters. We talk one-on-one a lot, and I do it with my boys too. Yesterday I spent about 2 hours with one of my sons, obviously the older one, not Moses. Spent a couple hours. We discuss things that matter and talk about what it looks like to go from being a boy to being a man, or being a girl to being a woman, and that transition. And you guys are growing up in a generation where people prefer to mature slowly. And up until about 100 years ago, there was no culture or society anywhere where people matured slowly, because it was an act of survival to become an adult and to take adult responsibility. And even today, we lived in Africa for a while when we were getting Juju and Mo, and it was crazy watching her. I remember one day, so she was 4 and a half when we got her, and I remember one day just thinking, you know what I'm going to do? Because she's real independent. She had lived on the street. Your hair is awesome, by the way. That's pretty spectacular. I saw you get up and walk out this morning when I was preaching. It's pretty cool. I thought about doing that with mine. It would be like this big gnarly horseshoe thing hanging off my head. So anyway, we got her. She's 4 and a half, but there's this lap of time in her life that's unaccounted for, because their biological mother died as a result of complications from Moses being born. And these national policemen picked them up and moved them out of their village into an orphanage in the city when Mo was like 6 months old. So we don't know. There's for sure about a month of time. We think that the mother died when we have a death certificate, but everything can be fabricated in those cultures. That means made up, you know, like just make it up. So we think that for about a month, she was basically, this 4 and a half year old kid was doing what it took to provide for her 6 month old brother. That's crazy, isn't it? And, so she's real independent. By the way, she will manipulate you. You, individually. Like, you think she's cute, and she is. She's beautiful. She knows it. And she's street smart. And she will get you to buy her candy, give her money, carry her. I watched a girl one day, about week three of camp this summer. I watched Juju right out here in front of the metal building going, "Oh, my foot is hurt so bad." And she like does this thing. She snarls her lip down, like, you know, when you're about to cry. And she's doing this, like, her and her. And I'm like, "You wicked little sinner." And she's like, you know, she's giving this slump shoulder thing. And this girl picks her up. She's like, there's an interaction. And the girl, she's asking her, and she wants to be carried to the snack shack. Girl carries her to the snack shack, buys her a cookies and cream Hershey bar, her favorite. I just let it all unfold. And walked up afterwards and said, "I'll take that, please." And she said, and I gave that thing out to people. Like, I was like, "Watch everybody eat your candy. You are not going to manipulate grown-ups, okay? Like, if they're smart, if they're no smarter than that, then okay, fine. But you got the cute factor going. Is your foot really hurt? Tell me the truth." She said, "No, sir." I said, "You need to stop it." Because she learned at age 4 and a half, you got to survive in this world, you know? One day we're living there in Africa, and we're living in Uganda. We're staying in this compound. And I was like, in the market where we buy stuff was take us about 20 minutes to walk over there. And I mean, it's like a decent part of town, but I mean, it's still, you're in the third world, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, I'm going to leave the gate to our compound open and see what she does. So I left it open. Well, she got hungry. So she picked her little brother up. Literally, he was just turned 1 year old. And she throws that little hip out like that, you know. She's got him propped up down that hip. And she starts walking through, like, down the street. I followed her till I was tired of, like, I was like, I ain't going no further. We're going back. She didn't know I was following her. She walked, like, two blocks carrying this kid, a four-and-a-half-year-old kid. So finally, I whistled at her. She stopped. She turned around. She couldn't speak no English at that point. And I said, Jungu, which means get your butt over here. And she said, yes. She don't have an accent now, but she had a little bit of English she was learning. She had a really strong accent. She said, yes, daddy. And I said, where are you going? Like, where? And she said, we eat. And I'm like, we got food in the kitchen. You know, we'll give you something to eat, baby. We can eat. But she's like, she was going to take him to the market and go steal some food. She's going to steal it. She had no money. Go steal some food, you know, survival. And in a lot of cultures, kids have to grow up so fast. And we live in a culture, like we live in a society, I want you to understand this, where we have pandered and catered to allowing you to stay childish for a longer period of time than should be allowed. Like in America, and I'm not saying you are like this, okay? So don't take this personal. I'm saying our society is allowing people to stay very childish well up into their 20s. Live off their parents, do what they want, expect somebody else to pay for it, expect somebody else to give them, like there's this, what's called a sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement means that people will say, you should give me this job or this money or this opportunity because because. And there's a need for you as a woman, as a young woman, to embrace the transition from childhood to womanhood right now. Don't wait. Right now. 100 years ago, the term teenager did not even exist in our society. Did you know that? Didn't even exist. You were a child, and then you became an adult. And godly women are going to transition aggressively from childhood to womanhood. Now, we live in a culture and a society where there's certain aspects of this that are good, right? Like you have the opportunity to go pursue an education. You have the opportunity to transition, you know, over a period of time from childhood to adulthood. During what we do have this block of time, it's like your adolescent years, your teenage years, and that's okay. But maximize these years not for selfish gain, but for what is going to be in the long run most effective for the gospel. Like, be a gospel focused woman and say, how do I become a godly woman so that I'll be a godly wife and a godly mother, and so that I'll raise a godly generation of kids, and I'll make an impact on my society, whether it's through your work, whether it's through whatever, you know, you pursue a career, or you want to be a stay-at-home mom, or you want to go to the mission field, whatever. Just look at how you transition from being a child to being a woman and do that well. Okay, and I want to help you do that. I want to give you some things this morning pertaining to relationships particularly. The first one is this. Concerning relationships in this season of your life, I want you to know one main thing. If you hear one thing and then check out, this is the thing you got to get. You need to know that Jesus is enough for you. And you need to believe it, and you need to pursue it. Jesus is enough for you. You do not need Jesus plus this boy or that relationship or that, you know, Jesus is enough. If all you have in your life is a relationship with Jesus, that's enough. Now, God is gracious in so many ways, and he doesn't just stick you with, you know, like you don't have to go be a nun somewhere in a monastery and write prayers and change diapers of kids that, you know, you're taking care of and you know, like live this life of piety and some, like, you can be a modern woman, right? I mean, it's always modern. The times are always modern. You know, whatever season of history you live in, it's modern right then. So be a woman of this era and this, like modernity means like modern times. Be a woman of modernity and impact your world with the gospel. And that starts by believing in your heart that Jesus is all you need, man. Jesus is all you need. So many girls long for something that Christ would give them if they'd let him. And they look in a thousand other places. From same-sex relationships to boy-after-boy relationships to if I could make this money or get this job or be on this team or make this grade. Look, Jesus will give you, like, the most satisfying life you can live is a life where Jesus is enough for you. You spend time with the Lord daily. Let him fulfill you. Man, I love being fulfilled. I took me and Kilby, my oldest daughter, we had to take a girl. She served overseas last year on a mission field for the summer, and a girl that served with her spent last week at camp. We're driving to the airport last Saturday. That girl had to fly out of Atlanta. It's like 2.5 hours to Atlanta airport. We're flying down there or driving down there so she could fly out. And anytime I go that way, I stop at Longhorn Steakhouse because they have this steak called the Outlaw Ribeye. It's my favorite. Some of you have heard me talk about this. It's almost like obsessive. It tastes so good. Especially after a summer where you eat camp food all summer. Camp food's good. Like, our camp food it's the best camp food I've ever eaten. It's better than any school or camp I've ever eaten at. Like, it's good, legitimately. Most of the food is, like, really, really good. But to get to go, like, on the weekend to leave camp, because we're here 12 straight weeks doing this, you know, and it's like your world, you get into this warped zone. Imagine your week of camp times 12, you know, and it's like, there's a world that exists out there that's like continuing to go, you know. Anyway, we stopped at Longhorn Steakhouse. And a lot of times if you go to a restaurant that is your favorite food, you'll eat too much. And then you're like, well, you know, your belly feels so full. You just want to go lay down. You're like, I don't know if girls do this. I know boys do it. Okay, good. Good. So I know my daughters do it. They're Holloways. We're big eaters. So, but I ate just the right amount. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to eat just the food. You know, they bring those little bread boards out. I'm like, I'm going to eat a couple slices of bread because I love bread, man. I got to be careful because you fill your belly up with that, and then you're full by the time your food gets there. Anyway, so we leave, and it was like that one kind of, I feel good. There's a Starbucks next door. I went next door and got me a couple shots of espresso so I didn't go into a food coma, you know. Like, toss that one off, and I'm ready to drive. The feeling after you've had a meal where you're really legitimately satisfied, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a rare feeling. Usually you either feel, or you didn't like the food good enough, or whatever. But that satisfied feeling, imagine that a million times over for your soul. That's what Jesus does. He satisfies your soul. There's an old song when I was growing up. I remember my mama used to sing it. It says, Jesus, 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 he satisfies my every longing and he keeps me singing. I love that. It's just this idea. So I want you to know that Jesus is enough. Right now, that may just seem like words on paper. It may not click. You're going, well, how do I know that? What does this look like? I don't have time to unpack all of that. But I'll tell you this. If you'll pursue a relationship with Jesus, he'll never let you down. Any man that you ever pursue a relationship, any human you ever pursue a relationship with, they're going to disappoint you at some point. They'll let you down. But Jesus will not. He will never let you down. Second thing I want you to know, you are worth pursuing. Make it hard on a dude. Make it difficult. Don't be a pushover. He should have to work for you. Like, as men, let me speak to you as a man. As men, we are hardwired to function at the highest level when we have to work for something. This is why it's not good when a boy is allowed to be lazy. You should pay attention to this. Like, when a boy wants to date you, pay attention to things other than, is he cute? Okay? Because cuteness, a lot of times, is like it should not be like the number one thing. I ain't saying you should be like completely unattracted to a dude. But I'm saying girls are all about, he's cute, and so I like him. Listen, pay attention to things like, does he work hard? Is he respectful? Is he kind to others? Does he obey and honor authority? Is he sweet and kind in his spirit towards his mother and sisters? Y'all, these are really, really important things. These are really important characteristics. So pay attention to that. because you need to believe, like you need to see the value that Christ has for you enough to think, man, I'm worth pursuing. Like you're worth pursuing. You are worth it. Like God made you. Christ died for you. That makes you a big deal. Some of you have, like a lot of girls in this room right now have very little value placed on their on yourself. And you need to know that Christ values you. He thinks you're a big deal. First time some boy, my goal from the time I held my first daughter, I'm holding that little baby. And it's just like overwhelming. I can remember this. It was a while ago now. Holding this kid and thinking, I remember walking around the hospital room thinking, I need to make this kid, like I've got to do this in such a way that when the first time a boy says something sweet or nice or manipulative to her, she's going to be like, my daddy been saying better stuff than that for a decade and a half. I don't know who you talking to. Am I supposed to be impressed because you opened a door? You know, like I want to set that. And some of you haven't had that standard set, but you need to know that Christ has gone before you, laid down his life for you so that you can have a fulfilling life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I came and laid down my life so that you can have life to the fullest. So see yourself that way and believe that you're worth pursuing. If the King of Kings, the creator and sustainer of all things, would lay down his life for you, don't you think that means you're worth pursuing? Yeah, it does. It does. Third thing I want you to get is that some of you have a lot of baggage and scarring. Many of you have made choices that have taken you into relationships that have caused pain. You're dealing with the repercussions of that. Many of you have been abused. A lot of girls in the room have been abused. You're abused as little girls, maybe even recently. You need to know that Jesus heals. He heals. He forgives. He cleanses. He heals. If you're a victim, he'll heal your heart and your mind, and he'll give you healing that will, like, restore your soul and your heart. He'll do that. It's crazy to think that you could be so damaged and have so much pain in your life from your past. But believe me, and this may seem like hollow words to you right now, there's a girl in here or two or five or ten that need to hear this. Just believe me, if you will pursue Christ, there's healing that waits for you. Like he'll heal your soul and give you a sense of satisfaction and a place to belong. Because he loves you. He values you. He thinks you're a big deal. I mean, God of the universe came to earth and died so you could have salvation. Do you think he holds you in high esteem? Yeah, he does. He does. Number four, Jesus will fulfill you. He'll satisfy and fulfill you. He'll give you like the deep, because here's the way it works. Christ knows the deepest desires and longings of your heart that you don't even know, that you don't even know. Like an example would be a mama who sees her little toddler, and that kid's so hungry that kid is eating something that's toxic, you know? Like maybe they're eating something they shouldn't eat. Maybe some cleaning agent, you know, or something like that. You got to keep the cabinets locked when you got little ones around because they'll drink some Drano or some Clorox or something. You're like, no, that will kill you. You know, you can't do that. But they don't know. All they know is there's an impulse, hunger or thirst, and I need to feed that. And so whatever I can get my hands on, you know, so you have to be careful with little kids. The mother knows, no, you can't have that. So I'm going to lock that up and I'm going to give you goodness. That'll fill your belly. Maybe it's peanut butter and jelly. Maybe it's a cookie or a snack or something like that. But here, you're going to enjoy this, and it's going to fill your belly. This is a good snack, you know? And she gives that to that child because the mother knows what the child desires, but she also knows what the child needs, and she makes the desire and the need come together and then feeds the child. Does that make sense? So you need to know that Jesus knows what you need and he knows what you desire. He'll bring your needs and your desires together, and this may take some time, and then he'll feed you spiritually. He'll give you soul food, like food for the depths of your longing and hunger emotionally and spiritually. He'll satisfy that. So you need to believe that. You need to know that he'll fulfill you and no other human can fulfill you. Like earthly relationships will just lead to pain if they're not done Christ's way. And then, there's so many things I want to say. Okay, and I only want to do five of these. So here's the fifth one, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts under this fifth one. Actively pursue Jesus above all else. Actively pursue Jesus above all else. You will be pursued by Christ, but you need to pursue Christ too. You need to pursue Jesus. What that looks like is spending time with the Lord, spending time in His Word, spending time talking to Him, listening to Him, opening His Word daily, not just like a 5-minute little devotional, but legitimately spending time with the Lord. Because you're going to spend a lot of time in the world during the day. You need to spend a lot of time with the Lord to have Christ, you know, give you what you need. You know what I'm saying? Like, give you, like, what you need, the depths of your soul. Like Christ will feed you, like we said in the last point. He'll fulfill you. Well, for that to happen, you got to pursue Him and submit yourself to Him and let Him do that. And He will. Some of you ache with a daddy wound. Like your daddy didn't do what he's supposed to do. And I hate that. I hate it. For some of you, he just simply abandoned or neglected. Maybe he's even present in your life, but he doesn't speak into your life. He doesn't invest in you and spend time with you. And I'm sorry. And what I can say to you is that God will be a father that will meet your needs and be greater than anything you can imagine if you'll pursue that. And some of you, you've been hurt by someone you should have trusted. And I hate that. I wish I could do something about it. I mean, I legitimately would if I could. But Christ can, and He has. And he'll heal you. And He'll give you what you need to sustain you, heal you. But you got to pursue that. As you're pursued by Him, you pursue Him, it becomes like this really beautiful dance in your life spiritually, where you're pursuing Christ and Christ is pursuing you, and you're walking together through life. And it's not just 5 minutes in the morning that I read a little devotional and say a prayer. It's that your life is lived in pursuit of Christ. Now, in that pursuit, I'm going to give you something to think about. You can get mad at me or ignore me or throw this out the window, but I'll tell you, I've had in Little and I, in 22 years of being married and doing ministry together, I've seen this, like, this is a life lesson that I've learned in dealing with young girls. We've had so many people live with us through the years, and I can think of a couple people that lived with us who then went into a relationship with somebody, and we said, no, it's not good. Because here's the thing, you need God. If I was going to add a sixth thing to that list we just came up with, you need godly people who will speak into your life. Like, surround yourself, like, that'd be your youth pastor and his wife, a small group leader, someone in your church who will speak into your life, who they don't stand to gain anything, so they'll just tell you the truth. Like, they don't need nothing from you. They don't need anything from you, so they'll tell you the truth. Here's the truth. Boom, 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 and they'll lay it out for you. They see you making bad decisions, they'll call you out on that. Only because they love you, but they don't stand to gain anything from you. You know what I'm saying? So they'll speak the truth to you in love. You need people like that in your life. And so I can remember going to this one girl and saying, this guy, this is not a good relationship for you. This is not good. And I remember actually, we spelled this out for her. We said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up with this guy with a baby. Maybe you're married, maybe you're not, but you're going to come back to us in a year or two or five with this baby. And this baby ain't going to have a baby's daddy that loves Jesus and loving you well and leading you spiritually and being the leader you need him to be in your home. And it happened. And it's more than once, but this is the most recent one's like killing little in me right now, because it's like, oh, I wish you would have just listen. We love you enough to tell you the truth because we know what's going to happen. And now she's a single mom raising a baby with you know, like staying with her dad, the baby's granddad, the dude stays high all the time and he's hooked on pills. And like, it's just a bad situation. Like, just listen to godly counsel from people that are going to help you navigate this season of life, help you make decisions. So what I'm going to say right here, it's that. It's me saying to you, here's some things you need to think about and navigate your teenage years, particularly till you're out of high school. Just till you're out of high school. It'll come and go really quick, I promise. As you pursue Jesus, here's what you're gonna have to balance. Okay, and listen, all these are big things. And at least four of these things will apply to everybody. There's five things, at least four of these will apply to everybody. This is a conversation I recently had with my going into last school year, sat down with my oldest daughter and we had this conversation. You got to balance school. Okay, so everybody got to, you got to do school, you got to take classes, and you want to make good grades, you want to do your best spiritually because it glorifies the Lord, but then also it's just because it's going to be good for you in the long run. So you got to balance school. School, there's a lot of pressure at school. With the pressure at school of academics, there's social pressure it's just insane. It's absurd, man. I was talking about this, I think it was last night, wasn't it, when I was talking about girls, how girls treat each other. I mean, it legitimately blows my mind how girls treat each other. Like, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And so you got to live in that cultural, you got to live in that place where people are ugly to each other. There's stress, there's pressure, there's social pressure from the society saying you should do this, do that, live this way. There's all the pressure that comes with being at school. And if you're homeschooled, there's probably a little less pressure here. But still, you're striving for academics. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so there's that pressure. That's a big pressure. The second one is sports, activities, extracurricular things, whatever you're into. If you're not into anything, you should get into something. Because it's a season of your life where you need some things to take your mind and your focus off of the heavier things. And so, like my kids play sports. But then I think about, all the other activities that just come with being a teenager right now. There's always something going on. So there's the activity side of life. Okay, so there's school, then there's sports and activities. Then there's, and this is where these two, the one I just said, and then this one, work. A lot of you have jobs. And some of you maybe don't have jobs and you play sports, or you don't play sports but you have a job. And for some of you, you do both. This is what's crazy. My kids, my two oldest kids do both. They work and they play sports, which is crazy on top of school. So some of you work. You work at a fast food restaurant, or you a coffee shop or ice cream place, something like that, retail store. Maybe you nanny. Maybe, you babysit. You work. So you're trying to make some money because your mama and daddy have taught you that they ain't made out of money and they ain't just going to hand you money. They're teaching you to responsibly go out and earn money and learn how to, like somebody asked me one time, how'd you teach your kids to balance their budget and save money and be wise with their money? I said, I didn't. Really? No, I let them, the first time they ever had a chunk of money because they had worked and got a paycheck, they blew it all the first day and then realized, oh, I ain't got no more money. So the next paycheck, they're like, I got to make this last. You know what I'm saying? If some of you have learned that lesson, you're like, the first time you work and you got a couple $100, $100 in your pocket, and you're like, whoa, you literally feel like you hit the jackpot, I worked, they paid me, this is awesome, poof, gone, that afternoon, you spend it all, and then you're like, oh, I got no more money, so you'll learn how to, manage your money one way or the other, so you're learning how to do all these things. Now, all this pressure in your life, school, sports, activity, work, managing money. Like if your mom and daddy just hand you everything, then maybe you don't get that one, but you need to start learning how to do this. Okay. So stacking up. And then the last two are really important. Church. You need, church is not a place where you just go as a consumer or like a spectator. I just show up and listen, get involved in your youth group. Like if you're a Christian, use your youth group as a place where you learn and grow in your relationship with the Lord, and then try to get your non-believing, your non-Christian friends to come with you. Bring them to church. Get involved. Don't just show up on Sunday and Wednesday whenever you do youth and just kind of be there. Actively get involved. And beyond that, look to serve for a summer in high school or college, or two or three summers at a place like Snowbird or a mission opportunity or something like that. Be plugged in and connected to ministry. Okay, so now there's another thing. We're stacking all these things you got to balance in your life. And the last one is this, family. If you're in a family that's dysfunctional and they're not Christians and everybody's kind of going cuckoo all the time, then you got to be the light in that dark home. You got to bring the love of God to that home. And if you're in a godly Christian family, then you want to spend time cultivating those relationships because you want to grow in that atmosphere. Whatever your situation and your dynamic is, you got to balance what's going on at home. So now you got school, academics, sports, activities, work, learning how to manage money, learning how to manage your time, church and your involvement there, missions, sharing your faith with your friends, family, what's going on at home. And all of this is under the heading of pursue Jesus, spend time in his word, learn to be a godly woman. You take all of that. Now listen, don't answer this out loud. Where does a boy fit into that? Because here's what will happen most often. With all that pressure in high school, one boy will go whoop and completely tip the scales and throw everything out of sync. Everything will be just completely, my favorite word right now to describe this is discombobulated. I had to look it up. Heard somebody use it, and I was like, that word right there, I'm using that one. Like, it just throws everything off. Like, how in the world can one little simple-minded 16-year-old boy completely upend your life? I don't know, but it happens all the time. With girls sitting in these chairs, and I'm like, are you really doing this? Do you really think he can handle you? No, he cannot. It's like it takes all of a man's focus and vigor and maturity and effort to be in one relationship with one woman called marriage. Like, it's a big deal. And some 16-year-old people are like asking questions like, what should be the qualifications or the characteristics of a guy that my daughter dates? And I'm like, he should be a grown man and she should be a grown woman. Like, which legally happens at age 18. It's open for discussion as if that actually is when it happens in a lot of people's lives. So I'm not a killjoy. I'm just not like, okay, here's the rules of Christianity. Don't have a boyfriend. I'm just saying, practically think about it, man. You want to do this right. Then when you come into that relationship, it'll honor the Lord. It'll bring you a lot of, because earthly relationships can bring a lot of joy and satisfaction. Some of you are so mad at me right now because you have rebellious hearts and you're like, man, who do you think you are? I know who I am. Like, I know exactly who I am. I got nothing to gain but to tell you the truth because I know. And some of you are mad at me right now, and 5 years from now, this conversation is going to ring in your head, and you're going to go, man, I don't want to admit it, but I should have listened to that. Or to something similar that the ladies that are in the room have tried to share with you in a small group discussion or one-on-one. Just food for thought. Just think about it, all right? I got nothing to gain to not tell you the truth. And I hope you live awesome, awesome, godly lives, fully satisfied in Jesus. Because God has great plans for you if you just be obedient and let him flesh those out, okay? All right, that was only like 30 minutes. That was pretty good, all right? Y'all have an awesome day. I pray you enjoy your day, and I'm excited for you. Oh, wait. So tonight, Little's going to talk to y'all. Just keep this in mind. There's two sides to every story. You're dismissed.